Welcome to So You Want to Move to the Country and Raise Goats. This podcast features stories from people who have gone through change. We hope that their insights will help you better understand and deal with the changes in your life. I'm Peggy Koenig, and along with my co-host, Catherine Greiba, we chat with insightful people with interesting change stories. We hope you enjoy our podcast.
Sylvia Martini wears many hats. She's well known for her expertise in strategy and governance, association leadership, and her entrepreneurial endeavors. Besides her very extensive professional experience, Sylvia also has experience and a journey through grief and change. She shares her perspectives on suffering profound loss, grief, and finding a healing path. We're very happy to welcome Sylvia Martini to the podcast. Sylvia is a long-time entrepreneur that I'm familiar with, and I first met Sylvia on a board. Sylvia has real bench strength in board governance, but Sylvia also has a very rich life experience in change. And I think I'm going to just drop you in there, Sylvia, and ask you to just start telling our listeners about some of the change you've experienced and how you found your way through some of the more difficult changes in your life.
Well, thank you, Peggy and Catherine. I'm absolutely delighted to be with you today. I have such respect for both of you. And, you know, when we talk about change, it was such and the invitation to be with you today. Especially in the last number of years for me, change has become a point of great study. How do I come through change with meaning and intentionality and wiser? So then that became part of an exploration of my life. And I've been keeping journals for 50 years and I found them all. And so I started to read through all the journals. And in those journals, I saw where those changes took place. And some of those changes, and you know, we had discussed very briefly that there are three areas of change. So the first one was the change that I chose to make, such as moving from, you know, Toronto and a vibrant, you know, career in Toronto when I was a young woman, falling in love with a man from Saskatoon, and within literally 6-7 months, moving here, being married, moving here, and now starting a whole new career and business and an entrepreneurial journey. That was a choice that I made, and how to, you know, and walking that. And there are things in those kinds of changes that we have eustress versus estress, right? So the eustress is I'm walking towards something, it's a change in. I'm out of my comfort zone, but I'm embracing this opportunity. And yes, I recognize it's uncomfortable. And then e-stress is distress, right? It's like, wow, I wasn't quite expecting that. I need to give myself a little more space. So that is a change that, and there are a number of those changes that I made. Then the second type of change is a little bit more uncomfortable. And that is a change that somebody else makes, and it impacts you. You are in the storm of that change. Like they make a change and you fall within that change. And that is sometimes unexpected, and it asks of you to go deeper and saying, oh my, you know, like it could have been from betrayal, or it could have been from, you know, it could have been somebody decided that they're going to quit a job, like your partner decides they're going to and go into entrepreneurship or whatever that. But all of a sudden, you have to go with that wave of that change, and you have to decide if you're going to accept that change or you're not.
You know, Sylvia, I was just going to ask you before you move to the third area. The first is choice.
Yes.
And the second, you said you have to decide, which means you have to choose what you're going to do. So even though it was thrust upon you, was there a point in the second area of change where you decide, you felt, no, I do have some choice here? Maybe not what triggered the change to happen, but perhaps how you responded to it or what you did after change was upon you.
Oh, thank you for asking that. Absolutely. And in a case like that, it spun off a whole new career. Because I had to decide. I mean, that was when you go back, you go into yourself, and then you have to start to reflect. We talk about values. We talk about our principles of our life. And, you know, I always say in business and in strategy, you will be tested on your values. You will absolutely be tested. And that's where those choice comes in. So it's not that it's not painful in some of those scenarios. They can be extremely painful, but they actually help you to define who you are and to test those values and say, is this still meaningful for me? And in that particular example of my life, and there are a number, I mean, that's just the way life is, but it actually opened up questions in my mind about, you know, what worked here and what didn't, and not to be defensive, but to be open-minded. And I think that's really the important element, is how do you be open-minded and curious, and where that takes you and how that takes you down that path.
So that, to me, Sylvia, sounds very intentional, that when you're dealing with that kind of change, that you're actually making yourself aware of what's happening around you and being open-minded and curious to actually see what are all the elements of this particular change and do my values fit in, for example. But having that curiosity, I think it sounds like that's very intentional.
Absolutely. And being really careful that one is not also defensive. So and that becomes very protective, right? So honoring, and in all of these changes, really honoring and connecting with your feelings. So having the time for reflection. So what we hear oftentimes is we need to be resilient, just get back up and go at it. And I've learned something really important is that it's how do we take those spaces and how do we become reflective in those spaces to honor what's happening, but to ask deeper questions of ourselves. So not to get into the defensive, but to get into the curiosity and the openness. And Peggy, to your point, absolutely, really intentional.
So Sylvia, I sense that there's a foundation that you were able to stand on in order to grow in these areas around change. Yeah. I mean, you talk about values probably being a very important part of that foundation. Are there other things in your life that you've thought about that was really the foundation? Because we don't get born and we're not just wise, right? We have a foundation around us that supports us and we build on that. So what was your foundation?
Such a deep question and a beautiful question. I really so appreciate that. I feel really blessed that I have had the parents I've had, the family I've had, and their life was not easy. So my dad was in concentration camp at Bergen-Belsen, as an example, at 17 years of age, and survived. Mom had bombs falling down, you know, at the end of the street, World War II. They came to Canada as a young couple from Italy, you know, built up. So, you know, I would say that I learned some really important values from them. I think fundamentally for me is I'm very spiritual. And I question a lot, like, things. So I remember when our daughter passed away. And I knew that it wasn't psychology I needed. I needed to delve into some really deep questions as, why did this happen to this beautiful child and to our family? You know, where was my creator? Where was, like, did I not pray correctly? Did I do something wrong? Was I a bad person? Like, what, like, why? And what I remember was saying, God, I know you're with me. I just can't talk to you right now because I don't know what to say. I don't even know what to say. So I I said, but please just stand by me as I walk this. And I believe that there was a greater depth of knowledge that I needed to walk. I wasn't looking for some justification. I wasn't looking to have my pain torn away from me and taken away. What I was looking for was the journey of trying to understand so that I could go deeper, that I could become a better human being, that there was, because I knew that my daughter's life had meaning, that there was purpose, we all have. But the biggest lesson I learned was I walked with a beautiful, who became a very dear, dear friend, a spiritual director. And she said to me something. She said, you know, Sylvia, faith is not about knowing for sure. Faith is questioning, because you have to question. It is a process of questioning. So we cannot know, but we can question, and we can go down the path of questioning. And I think that to me has been so incredibly valuable. And my prayers have always been that I learn, and what am I to learn, and to go deeper, and to have my roots of my experiences deepen me, become more, that there's a breadth to my life, and that there's a giving to my life, that there is, that coming from that change is value for others. And understanding for myself. Does that answer your question, Peggy?
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay. Thank you.
So, Sylvia, that is just, you know, as you've described, catastrophic change. And, you know, mindfulness doesn't even, to me, quite describe, you know, in the depths of losing a daughter, you know, to have that presence of mind to think about how I need to be curious here, rather than allowing yourself. You must have been angry. You must have had moments of anger and fear and all of that. But to somehow bring yourself back to the questions and the curiosity, that's a discipline, is it not? You must have been very disciplined in your mind to not allow yourself to go down this black hole that could consume you.
Oh, Catherine, you know, that's really powerful. And I'm going to be honest with you. What I did permit myself to do is that when I was broken, and I was totally broken when I lost our daughter, every death is different, because I've also lost my husband recently. So there was, you know, we go through our elders and we go through this. I think that it comes into self-compassion. I think this is a really important message in regard to change. Without self-compassion, we say to each other, oh, you know, just resilience. We need resilience. We need to get back up and, you know, just keep going. And the world is really uncomfortable oftentimes with that which is authentic. So when my husband passed away, when COVID hit, it also triggered once again the loss of my daughter, and I went through it. And so we go through different stages. But there were times during that journey that was absolutely, it felt like I was walking a nightmare. It felt, how I describe it is, it felt like I fell off a cliff and I got run over by a truck. There was no painkillers. And I'm in the hospital. I've survived it somehow, but I have no painkillers. And I have, in my total brokenness, I have to make sense of a new world that was not in my purview of what I had planned and what I had hoped, what I had strived for. But how do we then come through that and look at with gratitude, with appreciation, and knowing that these catastrophic changes are the time, and you and I talked about this, that liminal space for transformation. That's where transformation takes place. The invitation for transformation is in that space.
So tell us about the liminal change. Tell us about that.
Oh, you know, it was introduced to me by the famous virtual guru and leader, Richard Rohr. But liminal actually is an architectural term about the transition, space transition. So a transitionary between spaces. In the spiritual sense, and how he used it, is that it is, and it's not necessarily, if I can say, getting comfortable in the discomfort, but it is recognizing that through this dark night of the soul, there is an opportunity for being quiet, for reflection, for making the space, not to just push it away, but to be in it, to understand it, to be aware of it, and to allow that gestation of a new being to come forward, of a new change. So an example, every 7 years, as I understand physiologically, we are totally different people. All of our cells have changed over. They've died off. We have 100% new cells. We are totally in a new body every 7 years. So in that liminal space, it is about that period of understanding. It's messy. It's dark. It's really painful, but not to push it away. And this isn't about depression. This is not about going into clinical depression. It is about understanding that this is a gestation period for you to grow. And slowly it comes and it happens. It absolutely happens. And you've emerged a totally different person.
And so as part of that, then, that there's an understanding that this is not the end result. This is not the end of the journey, that you are going to emerge different and better.
It's absolutely
hope and the courage to keep going, that you're not staying here. This is the hallway to get you to where you're going to be.
Absolutely. So when we talk about change, and so once again, my curiosity has taken me down different paths of learning about this liminal space and about change and transformation. So when we look at change, we realize that there's the psychological aspect of change and how are we changing and making sense of it psychologically and going through the process of it. What do we need for support? That's where our beautiful inner circle comes in, our readings, our resources, our music, you know, to help us through that. There's the neurological change. There's a lot of trauma that can happen in these catastrophic changes that occur. And our brain is actually changing. Like during grief and catastrophic change or trauma, our brain is actually changing. That's impacting physiologically how we're reacting. It's impacting psychologically how we're seeing the world. There's spiritual questions that are taking place. When we recognize the integrated nature of change, then we can see that it is a process. And we are literally neurologically changing when we respect that, you know, there's going to be parts of our brains and the trauma center that are actually overactivated and our frontal lobes, our executive centers aren't working that well at that point in time. How do we respect that? How do we recognize that in that particular space? That's different from the other changes, right? How do we respect that? And how do we then know and start to slowly work through? So when you go through that liminal space, what you're actually doing is you are reworking your brain as well, right? You're reading materials, you're listening to music, you're engaging with friends, you're seeking knowledge, you are being more compassionate, you're starting to see the world differently. You're literally changing your brain. That's the neuroplasticity of the brain. So that is more the physiological things that are taking place through change.
So Sylvia, it sounds to me like this is a healing space. You know, when we think of healing, we think of quiet resolve, we're healing, but actually healing can be pretty messy. And it can go forward and it can go backward. But as it sounds to me like the liminal space is a healing space, which ends up as a growth. You're growing as well. As you said earlier, you emerge as this whole new being in a way.
Absolutely. How you see the world, how you engage in the world, what's important to you, the appreciation, the depth of appreciation. You know, it's an interesting thing. And I will say this, and a lot of people sometimes get uncomfortable with it. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of it because I know that I'm living my life fully. You know, I love the people. I love what I do. The work that I do is really meaningful. The people I serve is really meaningful. I do it with my entire being. The friends I have are connections, the choices I make. There's only, I realize very clearly that in all of these changes, that in some cases, it's not the end, it's a beginning of new chapters that open up for us and we become more. And as we age and we have the opportunity to age, we have the opportunity to become more. And therein lies, you know, the one aspect I do, you know, that is extremely intentional, has been for a long time for me, is always the quest for wisdom. And that is in and of itself is part of that transformation, is how do we intentionally grow in wisdom from what we learn so that we see change not as a threat, but we see change in a learning, the learning tools and how we actually grow and become wiser in our lives.
You know, Sylvia, it just seems that when you describe change and transformation, change, the way you've described it seems to be more of an end result, whereas the transformation is more a journey that you never really quite get there. You don't get to this end space. Are you in and out of the liminal space? Is that always kind of a part of where you are? Or how do you view that now? Are you always seeking wisdom?
I'm always seeking wisdom. You know, I'm always looking. So as an example, I was at the Reme Art Gallery yesterday, and there's this amazing show right now about, you know, for an Indigenous woman and her walk with her grandmothers, and she's Métis, and her walk in understanding her grandmothers and the pain and the growth and what they've learned and the wisdom that they've shared. When I go through that show, as an example, I am connecting with her journey. I haven't walked her journey, but I am going deeper because of her journey. So the liminal space is not a space that you stay in. It is a space that you know that in these, and it's very much so, absolutely the opportunity is there in catastrophic scenarios, but also in changes where somebody else has made a change, has decided on a change for you. And it might be shorter in that case, and you're learning some things. And I've certainly been in that space. I didn't know that it was liminal at the time, but I took the time to go through it. And that's where I then moved. It was a reflective space. I would say that liminal space is often, in my experience, has come out of really more catastrophic scenarios. But that doesn't mean you're not transforming all the time. You're always changing. You have that opportunity. And here's the thing that I want to say is change is constant. We are always changing. Every day I grow, every day that I wake up, I'm different than I was the day before. My cells have changed. I'm changing. Something's happened. The world is changing. So change is constant. So we don't, you know, when we try to secure ourselves to say we need safety, I don't want anything to change, it's not possible. Try to change the ocean, try to still the ocean. You know, it's always changing. It's part of it of saying, what within that will I intentionally contribute in a meaningful way to change in my own life, in the life of those that I love? What changes occurred that is not positive because I have not been, you know, I have been unaware of it, but now it's come to me and I have an opportunity for change. It might have been my doing that has caused problem for someone else, right? So how am I going to change for that? So it's really about being reflective and intentional in your life, knowing that like the ocean, We are always changing, and the world around us is always changing. Are we a positive contributor to that, or are we not? Are we going to be intentional about how that is going to work within our life, or are we not? At the end of it all, I remember, I will just share this. I was probably about, I was a deep child, like I did a lot of thought, but very philosophical. But, I think I was in grade 7. I remember looking in the mirror one morning, and there was some stuff had gone on at school as a young girl and all that. And I remember saying, Sylvia, every day you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, was this a good day? Did you make the most of this day? Do you like who you are? That was a big question. Do you like who you are? And if you don't, then you need to think about it. And what are you going to change about that? So that was more on the intentional side.
What are your thoughts about leveraging all that energy from liminal change to make change in a wider community? Is that even something that could happen?
I don't know if you can, there are times that things happen that are catastrophic, and I don't know if a community can go through a liminal change as an example. I think we go through change and it's forced upon us. People, oftentimes politically, people will want to see change. At that point, it's very difficult to make change at that point, because people like the security, and when they're seeing the discomfort that they're saying, I want change. I don't know, Peggy, if I'm understanding you correctly, if a community can go through liminal change. I think it is very personal. I remember at one point when my husband was still with me, I went through, it was a very difficult time, and it was a big change that had taken place. And I remember saying to him, and I didn't understand the liminal change, but I was going through it. I was entering it. And I said to him, Rick, he said, are you okay? Are you okay? I said, I don't know if I'm okay. I think I'm going to be okay, but I'm going to need to be quiet for a while. And I said, I'm inviting you to knock on the door in about a month's time. If you see that there's a problem, and you can inquire and say, are you okay? Do you need help? And I will let you know, and I'm going to answer you honestly. And in 6 months, I'm still there. Then I'm inviting you that you can say, Sylvia, we need to do something about it, because I've gone down a rabbit hole that I can't get out. Right. So, I really respected Rick for honoring that. And, month one was dark. I mean, it was not easy. And I did but I'm really committed. Absolutely committed that I'm not going to do numbing activities. Like, that's another thing, because numbing activities do not promote transformation. They don't promote growth. They promote safety and hiding and burying and hoping that it'll go away, and it doesn't go away. So you have to face that. You have to face it. So, but anyway, as it turned out in that particular instance, he goes, knock, knock. Are you okay? Yep, I'm okay. It's happening. But I needed to reflect. And, coming through that, it was really amazing that they opened up more questions on things, and then opened up new opportunities to see new ways of looking at things and starting to make change in community where I wanted to see change in community. And on Allie's illness as an example, when she passed away, I knew that I could not go out and do what was meant to be done in a change way, because I was angry, because I was hurt, because I was confused. I couldn't, but I had to honor that those were the feelings I was having and processing. And then now I'm able to start to make change, but in a positive way, and in a way that's meaningful, that does make a difference, that's asking the question strategically. So I think, back to your question, Peggy, I think that the change has to come from within, from a good intention, from the questioning. It has to get around the tables when we're at boardroom tables, in community, in decision-making roles, where we ask those really meaningful questions and not be afraid of it, to open up and be open-minded for the possibility of change.
Yeah. Because at the end of a liminal change process, as you say, we grow in wisdom. So yep. That wisdom is something that can be shared or is something that you can bring into decision-making and into the community.
Absolutely. I think change is the precursor, is a precursor to wisdom. It is. You cannot become wise without the process of the experience that you have, and how that happens is through change, right? So change is a catalyst. It's a catalyst.
It's a great discussion.
Thank you.
What are you curious about today, Sylvia? What burning questions do you have that you're searching for today?
Well, I know that, you know, from the internal side, which is so, it is so rewarding, is how what I've gone through, like the work that has gestated and the transformations that have taken place through the change, how that is now funneling in a meaningful way in the opportunities that, and when I say opportunities, every day there's opportunity, like our opportunity to chat today, those meaningful connections that we have, how to enrich those meaningful connections, that we, with the knowledge that I have today, the burning question is, how do you take this forward now? And not necessarily, because I don't go with ego, like it's not an ego thing. It is, how do you take this and create the space and the energy for thoughtful discussions to take place where people are open-minded? How do we encourage our young people? And when I think about today, addictions, and I think about mental health and the challenge, depression, the impact of social media on our young people. The burning question for me and change is, how can I be a facilitator, a bridge, a thought provoker, a thought influencer for a more meaningful life for these beautiful young people who have not yet experienced their life, but I have a perspective like my dad did, and he shared with me quietly, how do you become a thought influencer for young people that they can start to process neurologically, spiritually, a courage, because it takes courage, right? It takes courage to see the world with possibility. How do we do that? And that to me is a really big one, because I think that's critically important. How do I help my grandchildren? How do I help, you know, my beautiful and amazing daughter and family? How do I help those see the world and think more critically and think more thoughtfully, but think with an open-mindedness? That's it.
You know, I was telling you earlier that that I've always been amazed at how you're always put together and you're always happy or appear to be so, and really shining. And, you know, it just done the hard work so that it actually comes from within and it just exudes from you. It truly does. Every time I see you, you are a beam of light. And it's been the hard work that I can't even comprehend that you've gone through, but have today gotten just a small glimpse into how you've made that liminal experience, that liminal transformation.
Thank you. Thank you. And each of us are treasures. Like each of us, our life is a treasure. And, you know, it's about honoring that. I think it's really about honoring that. And I go back to when I was in grade 7 and I looked in the mirror. I don't want to look back on my life and say, you know, I want to know that when it's my time, I can say, okay, I've I've done my best. It may not have been perfect, and my gosh, it certainly was messy sometimes. But you know, I've embraced it and I've lived my life, and I'm so grateful for the experiences that I've had and for what I've gone through, because I've learned so much. And may it come, now this is the big thing, if I'm going to leave you with this, may it come through me and not from me. And through me means may it come from the experiences and everything that I've learned and beyond, and the wisdom and the beautiful people who've contributed to my life, but also who are walking with me in life with their own experiences, and may it come through us to a greater good.
If you've learned just one thing about change while listening to this podcast, please subscribe on Apple or Spotify and share with a friend. This episode recorded via Zoom audio. Producers Peggy Koenig and Catherine Greiba. Executive producer Koenig Leadership Advisory. Theme music La Pompée, written by Chris Harrington, music publisher Invato Market. For information on this podcast, please visit www.getyourgoat.ca.